My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ if you're one with Christ.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And it is Thursday, March 28th in the year 2024. Lots more discussion going on both the Russian terror event and the Baltimore bridge collapse, and which probably should come as no surprise that the Baltimore mayor has now declared that his goal, literally, is to make white people afraid, and that they should be afraid if they're trying to, in any way, call him a DEI mayor. These people are all hand puppets, as we know, of untruth in the deep state, and this is the constant churning of lies and divisiveness because they're losing control. And events like this tend to build deep cohesion between people as people come together to solve problems, and the only thing they're left with is to create divisive strategies and speaking like this so that we will not come together. I think we all know that. So these are just things to keep in mind as we go forward. This is going to get worse, not better. And it happens when people try to find their way to truth. Before we get going, the one thing that is absolutely clear is that we've been living under a lie for quite some time. This marks 3 years, actually 4 years, since the COVID con was introduced. And the more that we learn about it, the more that the truths get revealed, the darker all of that actually becomes. We have lived under lies, coercion. There's been attempts to force people to take the vax, fear to get people to compel people to take the vax and to comply to their will. And all of that are their tools of darkness that they use. Most, unfortunately, took it. Many stood strong against the shots, and we know that. Unfortunately, even those that stood against the shots are subject to what we call shedding and the spike proteins that can shed and cause sickness. Fortunately, we have a sponsor that joined the show that is offering a way to remove those toxins with what is referred to as Warrior Essentials. This is their new product. It's patent pending. It's a formula that they put together with the power to help the body heal itself and turn your body's natural abilities on to purge yourself of those spike proteins. Now, this is not an FDA-approved product, to be clear about this. And it is not a product that is intended to use to diagnose, to treat, to cure, to prevent any disease. My caveat on that is that the FDA was the one that brought us the shot and continues to bring us vaccines. So that shouldn't mean much, but it is required to say. This product is designed for anyone who was jabbed or around those who were jabbed. And it comes in three stages. One is called remove the toxins. Next is repair, and that repairs the circulatory health. And the other is restore, which helps restore your epigenome. So there's really nothing like it anywhere on the market. And they have a special offer going for Bards folks right now. It's Bards Nation. All you have to do is go to recoverwithbards.com, recoverwithbards.com, and you'll save up to 50% off the regular prices plus free shipping. I think this is a great product. I think it probably should go in everybody's medical kit. We really don't know the exact nature of this vax or of the COVID con. The scientists like Dr. Lee Merritt are still trying to pull this apart. But this offers a great way to help the body stimulate its cleansing and the restoration of the cells, which takes us down to that epigenome level. So it will help you get rid of the toxic spike proteins, and it will boost your health. Sounds like a win-win, right? So anyway, head on over to recoverwithbards.com. Again, that's recoverwithbards.com for up to 50% off regular pricing and free shipping. Now, all those links are available below the podcast. So always there for you to find out, explore. Fantastic site, by the way. If you want to do a lot of reading on that product, they're very well documented, and it's a good product. In my opinion, it's a good product. So remember, I don't wear a white coat. I'm not a doctor. I don't play a doctor on soap operas, which means I will never get a contract for Big Pharma to promote their drugs, because apparently, in order to be a really good Big Pharma drug producer, our promoter, you have to be a doctor or an actor on daytime TV. That's interesting correlation, but it's interesting. Okay, interesting headline here I'm going to start with, and it's there's a lot of this going on right now, which kind of has to ask us some big questions. This is Hollywood veteran Arnold Schwarzenegger. This was posted on the 25th of March, just so we get this. Hollywood veteran Arnold Schwarzenegger was one of the most outspoken pro-vaccine advocates during the COVID-19 pandemic, regularly taking it to social media to hurl insults at the unvaccinated. According to Schwarzenegger, those who chose to exercise their constitutional right and refuse the jab were, quote, schmucks, and who could, quote, go F themselves. Well, that's good to hear, because Arnold Schwarzenegger's, the headline is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who called the unvaxxed schmucks, has pacemaker installed after 3 open heart surgeries. We are seeing this happen increasingly, and it's a very interesting thing. Now, I want to tie into this a little bit, because this is, it'll tie us right into Baltimore here in a minute. And the real question is, what are we witnessing here? Are we witnessing something by the execution of masterful white hats that have stealthily worked behind the scenes and switched out vaxes and done things? And I'm going to say, if it is that good on them and amazing how imperfect this operation is and all that sort of thing. But this is also, in my opinion, so large and so vast, regardless of who the agents of execution are, this cannot be done without God. And this is all we are witnessing, a God-level event of bringing absolute justice in this world. The one thing that we struggled with, and I would say it was more emotional than it was spiritual by means, and I'm putting myself in that category because you've heard me speak boldly about the need to have justice. The great reminder here is God does deliver justice. As we hold our faith and hold the line, God does deliver justice. It just doesn't happen on our timeline. Now, I just read this comment, and it's a good one. We know so many that are sick and have died. I 100% agree. This is not without damage, and I don't like the white hat theory because it just kind of glosses over things like it's, oh, you know, I literally have read these comments. It goes like, well, this is war. People have to die. And I'm like, that's a nice thing to say when you haven't lost friends and family. And it's a nice thing to say when you can sit on your little ivory tower and act like you didn't get just decimated in your job or have to deal with family separations, which was brutal, which is the one thing that I talk about openly in Bard's Nation. And Resistance Nation is very similar. So are the followers at the Church of Glad Tidings. We have these enclaves of people, these fellowships that have evolved out of this. There is a common thread within the strength of this body of Christ that we are speaking into, which we would call the remnant, is that everybody has suffered a consequence of standing against the vax. There are some here that have taken the vax for various reasons, and I commend you for being here. We love you, we'll pray for you, and we want you healed. But as the core group that really built around Bard's Nation, and this is not to separate anybody, but the suffering of that vax, and even those that have come here because of, even after having taken the vax, understand what this was really about. This was about a destruction of people, a destruction of families, a destruction of us. And everybody, good comment here, nobody has been untouched, 100%. So we're not trying to create an elitism when I say that. I really want to be careful. What we're really talking about here is just that there's a common understanding of the suffering that went along with this. Whether we've lost friends and family, I think we all have. Whether we've been separated from friends and family, I think we all have. Whether we took the vax and woke up later or didn't take the vax from the beginning, which a lot of us never took it and never were participant in it, but we've come to a common base to say, man, this was a painful experience. If I was to design a selection process in the world of wanting to select the people that would rebuild the world, I would literally choose a program like this vax. I'm just saying this, like I'm kind of speaking as if I was the master of the universe, which of course I'm not, but I would do something like this because very quickly you would sort out how people see the world and where their loyalty is, and even those that took it, where they return to. And that's a big, big deal because ultimately people have come back to God in such a profound way. So everybody that's here, I don't care whether you took it or not. I know, and these comments can get uneasy for those of you that have taken it. I don't want it to be that way. I want you to know that we're family. We pray for healing. We pray for restoration. We pray for the purging because there was a war that was fought. And this war still is being fought, and we can't lose sight of that. They want to brush this thing under the rug. And I mean this. I mean, if you're listening to what's going on in the political circles, nobody is talking about the vax. In fact, the number one candidate that was speaking about the vax has been completely neutralized now. And that's RFK Jr. with his selection of that communist. And she is. She's an incredible who he chose to. And I'm seeing if I can find it right now because I'm not finding it right before me in my notes. But she literally... He chose somebody of the one person he could choose in this entire world that would sink his candidacy overnight. That was his new running mate. That is so opposite of where he would need to be to attract the independent vote. She was part of Event 201. She has been funding all sorts of crazy things. So it's Nicole Shanahan. Shanahan is who he chose. And she was the former ex-wife of the former Google CEO. She's been funding anti-police, defund the police, reduce crime bills in L.A. and San Francisco. I mean, this woman is toxic, and his entire candidacy now has been neutralized. But anyway, back to Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, dude, that you've got, we're supposed to pray for our enemies, and we will pray for Schwarzenegger, and we'll throw him in our prayers today. I don't seek to have people suffer, but at the same time, when you deal with the devil and you want to harm others, there's a nasty way that has a way of wiping you out. I'm just going to pray that he finds Jesus. That's my bottom line. He needs a lot of it. And that will be what it is. So, I mean, I think that's the road we have to continue to take, right? I mean, COVID-Con brought out some very visceral aspects to every single one of us. I am on the top of that list. And COVID-Con still demands a level of justice that cannot be avoided. We have to live into an age of accountability. We have to be held accountable for the decisions and actions in which we live and made. That continues even in today. So I think when we apply that rule to ourselves, you know, we point a finger at one, we've got three finger pointed back at ourselves. We have to be careful not to jump in that place to go, oh, good. Schwarzenegger has three heart surgeries. Well, I'm just going to say, dude, you earned that one. But we'll pray for you that you find Jesus, and maybe in the process of getting healed, you'll awaken to the power of Christ and turn your platform from evil to good. And that would be a God play right there. So, just saying, right? And this Baltimore thing's interesting. There's a lot of questions of what this event is and obviously there's the collapse of the bridge is a big event, but it really takes us to a bigger root, which is the root of what's going on in Russia. So I want to step back on this just a minute. I'm going to play a piece that Greg Reese just put out, and it's about 4 minutes, 30 seconds, and it's a good overview of what the situation is in Russia and that terrorist attack that happened about a week ago.
Over 100 people were murdered in Russia on Friday, including women and children. 11 terrorists were captured by Russian authorities as they attempted to cross the border into Ukraine. They are being interrogated, and all roads lead to the U.S. State Department, who have been directing Ukrainian forces since their 2014 coup. The attack occurred on March 22nd, or 3/22. 3/22 is the mysterious number used by Yale's infamous Skull and Bone Society. The official story is that 3/22 symbolizes the year 322 BC to memorialize the event seen as the turning point which transformed Athens from a democracy to a plutocracy. A plutocracy is a society that is ruled by no other political philosophy other than the financial elite being in control of the people's destiny. The Skull and Bones is a grooming academy for the CIA, such as former director of the CIA, George Bush, and 322 is their calling card. During the Tucker Carlson interview, President Putin was clearly speaking to the CIA. The CIA responded in a New York Times article admitting that they are using Ukraine as a proxy to wage war against Russia. Weeks before the attack, Victoria Nuland repeatedly boasted that Putin was in for a nasty surprise.
Mr. Putin's going to get some nice surprises on the battlefield, and that Ukraine will make some very strong success this year.
This supplemental funding will ensure Putin faces some nasty surprises on the battlefield this year.
On March 7th, the U.S. Embassy issued a warning about the threat of terrorist attacks in Moscow, specifying concerts. The British Embassy in Moscow mirrored this warning. Days before the attack, Barack Obama paid an unexpected visit to the British Prime Minister at 10 Downing Street.
President Obama, are you worried that Putin will rule forever? President Obama, why should we care about democracy in Russia?
Do you have a few moments?
Will you speak to us? Come and have a chat with us for a minute.
How did it go? What did you talk about?
Within hours of the attack, and without any evidence, the U.S. government blames the attack on the Islamic State and says that Ukraine is not involved. The very next day, while Russians were grieving, CIA mouthpiece The Washington Post gloated how the U.S. had prior knowledge of the attack and people still died. It has been noted that the terrorists were either professional assassins or trained by Western forces, for they were demonstrating NATO training methods, such as shooting in small bursts, trigger control, and proper mag reloads. For anyone with eyes to see, this is the modus operandi of the West. Al-Qaeda was famously created by Western intelligence agencies to fight the Russians in Afghanistan, and has been cultivated by the U.S. government and used as a catalyst for illegal wars and tyrannical laws against U.S. citizens. Ukraine's spy chief said 3 months ago, expect more attacks deep inside of Russia.
I'm very glad to see this. Yeah. That's my reaction.
That's your reaction. You're happy to see it.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be more?
I think so.
Inside Russia? Deep inside Russia?
Deeper and deeper.
Dmitry Medvedev said that everyone is asking him what to do. He answered that those who were caught need to be killed, but it's much more important to kill everyone involved, everyone who paid, who sympathized, and who helped. Kill them all. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
We're dealing with an unconscionable level of evil, and so I want to just loop back a little bit here. I'm looking at some comments in chat, and COVID-Con is one of those things that brings out absolute visceral hatred. A terrorist attack like this, there are true innocents that are taken out. People are caught in seats, they burst in, and people are shot and killed randomly. This is what I'm going to say here is not going to be a popular view, but it's something we have to separate from. Number one, we can't become like them. And that is that the hatred where he says at the end, everybody needs to be killed. That cannot be our path, because that's not God's path. That's the path of evil, of trying to seek a vengeance of death but by our hand, which is not of God. Secondly, I just need to put a kind of a point on this whole COVID-Con thing, and this is the part that's not going to be popular. I understand, because I read somebody in here that said that in chat today that said that they killed my parents. Your parents were definitely likely killed by the shot. I can agree with that. The part that is not popular is that the shot everybody had a choice in. And that's a problem of accountability that unfortunately we have to face. Because the terrorist attack is keeping you in a pen, going in and trying to kill everybody in a pen when you have no way to escape. You're caught. You're trapped. COVID-Con, in so many ways, in most circumstances, you had a choice, even if that choice was brutally difficult. Even when you talk to the folks of the DMA, they put up with unconscionable levels of abuse within the military, abuse that would be considered interrogation-level tactics, and those that stood the line still were able to avoid taking it. I'm not in any way excusing those that created this monster, but I am encouraging everybody to keep the hatred out of your heart. This is the trap that Satan has set. Because if you let hatred molt in your heart, you will not hear God. You will only hear that of vengeance, and vengeance like this is not of the way of God. And this is a very hard path for all of us to walk. And I will probably get nasty emails. I'll probably get people saying, I'm never coming to your channel again. It's like, okay, whatever, dude. I don't care. Because I'm going to tell you, and you will learn this from anybody that's ever been in the elite point of special operations. And I'm going to be very clear what I'm going to say. You talk to any one of these operators, and they will tell you when you go on a mission, there is no vengeance or hatred in their heart. They have to be clear in their thinking, and they have to be righteous in their justice. And you have to hold that line. We have to own the accountabilities that we have. Like right now, we get to this bridge incident in a minute. Was it a strike to us? Very possibly. The immediate reaction is to try to blame somebody. The only ones to blame at this point in time are we, the public, because we have allowed this government to continue, and we are the only country in the world that has been given a document called the Declaration of Independence that explicitly gives us the right to throw off a despotic government. When we have a satanic cult running this nation and we're watching children being marched to the altars of Baal to have their genitals cut off, their breasts removed, and as a collective public, we're doing nothing, we have no one to blame but ourselves. Nations will be judged. In the same event, when we get to COVID-Con, we have people that were so locked in the matrix that no matter how hard we tried, they could not wake up. That's a tragedy. It doesn't excuse those who did it, but we have to still own the piece of accountability that as a nation, we willfully walked off the plank. Many of us did. Many of the nation's people did. It's a tragedy. And the justice has to be clean, and it has to be clear, and it has to be righteous, and it has to be of God. But it can't be of hatred, of vengeance, and of blood, because that's when we become them. And that's exactly what they want. So, as we look at this and we can look around, it is not an easy walk we have to take. But being a remnant that saw the truth and being a remnant that walked in that truth doesn't make it easy either. In that walk with Jesus, carrying the cross, as people he was worshiping with, people he was praying with, people that he was healing, were now turning on him, spitting on him, throwing things on him. That's the walk of a remnant. And that's a walk of truth that ultimately what we learn in the victory of the cross is that by walking that path, as the fools turn and become vengeful and hateful to the love that we carry, the power of love ultimately releases the blood covenant, breaks it, and sets people free. You may not have wanted that walk, but if you stood against the shot, you're in it. It's that simple, because they're trying very hard to brush it under. So these are not easy truths. But the level of truth and level of accountability that we have before God has to have those. We have to own our stuff. And the anger towards the outside anger has to be reduced to a righteous clarity of what justice is. Just is. Now, this issue in Baltimore is an interesting one, because there's a lot of questions of whether it's human error or whether it was actually a cyber attack or a counter response. We understand that all the cards have been laid on the table now pretty clearly, that the U.S. has been very involved in the attack towards another nation, Russia, by a proxy war. And so the righteousness of a nation that likes to look at Russia as the big evil bear has no basis at this point in time. Ukraine is that pivot point where we have over the years, with our 20-plus bioweapons labs developing various horrendous methods to kill people using Donbass as an experimental area that was Russian citizens being used as guinea pigs on this vax. There's a hand of justice that's coming both to Ukraine and all those involved. And however that hand of justice is delivered, we will see. But the fact is that we have been complicit in the murder of innocents heavily. And we've been complicit in the attempted takedown of Putin many times, and we are complicit now in more murder in Russia. Our version of that was 9/11, and we chose as our response to be able to launch a war across the entire Middle East and everywhere else we decided to go to kill agents of terror, most of which were some in one way or another ginned up by the CIA. And really, when you look at the deeper part of that, as they create both ends to the middle, you're also seeing that what a lot of the wars that we fought were to take out groups that themselves were seeking to throw off the oppressors, which in one way or another were tied to us. That's a pretty dark statement to make, but it's very, very provable. So when we start to look at Baltimore, we're asking what the questions are, and there are many questions. We don't have answers yet. This could be complete human error, and it could be a blundering moment where literally we're just watching the foolishness of mankind and God letting the whole system fall apart. That's very possible. It also could be something as sophisticated as a cyber attack that took control of the steering of the ship and drove it into the pylon. Both are well within the realm of possible, especially as we learn more about the ships and the way they staff these ships using foreign crews, underpaying them, flagging them under foreign countries so they don't fall within domestic laws and rules, and they don't fall within the requirements of training that they do in the United States. As long as they come in, as a ship only comes into one U.S. port within a certain span of time, it can maintain a foreign flagging and have a foreign crew that's not trained to our standards. So is it possible that the ship was just completely poorly captained? Yes. Except this. Take a listen.
Just shame on those people who want to make something out of this that isn't there. They have this boogeyman philosophy, and if it's black or brown, it's something that they've got a target on. Yeah. I just think that is just totally uncalled for at a time like this.
That was Maryland Congressman Kwesi Mfume last night on this very show, talking about the rampant conspiracies being hawked by the right about Tuesday's tragic bridge collapse in Baltimore. It has been a grab bag of right-wing grievances, barely coded racism, and flat-out lies. Noted Jewish space lasers and QAnon conspiracist Marjorie Taylor Greene suggested the disaster was the result of an intentional attack, perhaps by the space lasers. But the most idiotic and racist theories had to do with their newest boogeyman, diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. A Republican congressional candidate in Florida tweeted that DEI did this. And a right-wing blue check account that's been boosted by Elon Musk in the past just blew straight past the dog whistling, tweeting to its 276,000 followers, quote, Baltimore's DEI mayor commenting on the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge, it's going to get so much worse. Prepare accordingly. The post included a clip of Baltimore's black mayor, Brandon Scott. I cannot believe I have to say this. Brandon Scott was elected with 70% of the vote in 2020 in a city that is 61% black. So by right-wing logic, a diversity hire would have been a white man, which, of course, is what they want. Only the white Christian men may have the things.
And there you go. So what do we just witness here? And what they've done now is they've taken the narrative immediately of what's happened in Baltimore to convolute it, to throw in DEI, because DEI is now is their cause to divide and conquer. We have turned this thing into a racist attack. We have the Uniparty playing their role by throwing in things like DEI. DEI shouldn't even be in this discussion. It doesn't come near it. There was discussions, criticisms of the mayor who literally came out because he was addressing the people. I'm not taking the mayor's side. I'm just going to say of the recent moments of time, I'm going to say that what I heard of him, be clear about this, I felt his comments were relatively reasonable and rational, because his focus was people asking, like, what are we going to do to repair the bridge? And his comment was, we have to focus first on getting the people out of the water. I'm not telling you anything about him. I don't even know his political orientation. What I know is that they've blown this thing up to be a racial issue, and the media is now fanning the flames. And it's been blown up on social media, which means it's a complete distraction. And when you start out with QAnon theories again, talking about space lasers, and that's Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is not a friend of conservatives. Be clear about that. She is a good sleeping partner, apparently, for Kevin McCarthy, because he thinks it's worth sacrificing his marriage to sleep with her. But she is not a friend of conservatives. She's part of the Uniparty. So it's intentionally dropping these bombs in this thing to try to gin up DEI tells you that it's something greater. So here's where we have to start looking, is like, what really happened in Baltimore? It has nothing to do with race. It could be true human error, very possible. It also could be a cyber hit. But I will tell you what it's not, is it has nothing to do with race. And when you start to throw out QAnon and you start to throw out, they start using that tag QAnon and they start to throw out conspiracy theories, pretty much start looking at whatever the QAnon and conspiracy theories are, and you're going to get closer to the truth. That's the way they work, because they want your eyes off of that now, and they want your eyes over on the mayor. What it also suggests is, because they're so pumped up about this, the likelihood is it's either somebody that is fighting directly against the deep state, or the deep state themselves did it, because they want your eyes off it. They don't want you looking towards the truth. Every time you get close to the truth, they're going to throw something in there to divide it. And this is another way for them to gin up the black vote, which they have lost in the Democrat Party to try to suggest that white, and you heard the name, white male Christian, that is the new enemy of the people, according to this narrative. So all of this is just a clown show, and it's all a diversion. I want to play Watson's view here, and this is a really good overview of what's happened. It's about 8 minutes. We're going to play a good portion of it, so here we go.
Not everyone's buying the explanation that the Baltimore Bridge collapse was an accident. Their Exhibit A is this speeded up footage of the cargo ship hitting the support pillar of the bridge, which has gone viral on X. They ask if the ship had just lost propulsion power, as the official story claims. Why does it appear to be making a beeline for the pillar and appear to deliberately turn into it? Take another look. Some claim the ship deliberately altered its course to hit the pillar of the bridge. But a chief engineer who has worked on cargo ships begs to differ.
Okay, the reason the ship turned, there's a lot of possibilities. Some said they dropped the anchor. If it's a starboard anchor they dropped, that could cause it to take a right-hand turn. I thought it maybe was a stored command. During the blackout period, if someone has moved the helm and then the emergency generator comes on and starts the steering gear pump, then it will exercise or execute that stored command and turn the rudder over. Also, if the rudder is in float and full astern, it could have moved.
There's even claims that this footage shows what they say is a controlled demolition. Really? Just looks like a light falling down to me. And why would a controlled demolition begin from the very top of the bridge? Not buying it. In fact, as sometimes happens, the conspiracy theories are actually only serving to hide the true cause, which I'll get to later. But this post on X asserting the ship was hacked got over 17 million views. They claim repeated on-off power loss experienced by the vessel is proof of the hacking. Or it might just be the power going on and off, you be the judge. Authorities say accident, but there are a growing number of skeptics. Prime amongst them, journalist Laura Logan. She posted on X that the bridge collapse was in fact a quote, absolutely brilliant strategic attack on key US critical infrastructure. By who and for what reason? Don't know really. The two critical components on that bridge are the two load-bearing pylons on each end closest to the shore. They are bigger, thicker and deeper than anything else. These are the anchor points and they knew that hitting either one of them would be a fatal wound to the integrity of the bridge. Now Logan's an interesting case study. She literally went from being a legacy media darling, working for CNN, CBS, ABC and NBC, to embracing, let's just call them, the spiciest hot takes that you can imagine. Nowadays, she never meets a conspiracy theory she doesn't like, but she's not alone in her skepticism. Steve Bannon's also got some questions.
I'll be blunt, it doesn't make sense. The system is supposed to be set up for exactly what happened last night, losing power. And this was not terrible conditions. I've seen these conditions where you have tons of wind, rough seas, you have tons of wind. So all that freeboard, the ships, those kind of ships are just blown over. And it's foggy. You can't see the front of the bow of the ship. You got fog, so you're totally flying. You're totally doing blind. And even then, these pilots are so experienced; they're taking these things in and out of there. So it's not right. And I think we need to get full accounting of this until people say it's not terrorism. I'm not saying it is terrorism. I'm just saying that the system set up for exactly what happened last night for these type of power failures.
But how is the media covering this massive story? Thanks to Ground News, I can instantly access every story on it and compare coverage. Take the conspiracy theory angle. Nearly 40 articles were published on it in the last day alone. Some sources call it a black swan event. Apparently, Andrew Tate says the ship was cyber attacked, and others claim the right-wing media are spreading it all. But in fact, on Ground News, I can see that almost 60% of publications covering it lean left, with little to no coverage from the right. That shows just how much the establishment media wants to focus on conspiracy theories, and not on potentially more credible and alarming issues, like the FDA settlement over controversial COVID posts. Ground News shines a spotlight on misleading narratives. You can check it out for yourself at ground.news/PJW. The link is right down below. If you're a news junkie like me, this is the Rosetta Stone of breaking news and media monitoring. Instead of wasting time wading through scores of different websites, everything is there in one place, helping you stay informed of breaking news and developments as they happen. I've been using it for over a year now, and it's an invaluable tool. And I'm not just saying this because they sponsor me. I actually use their app and website on a daily basis for my work. So check it out at ground.news/PJW or scan the QR code on the screen. They're currently offering my viewers 40% off the Vantage plan, which is the one I use for unlimited access. Or you can try it for less than £1 a month. They're independently owned and subscriber funded. Subscribers support their mission to hold the media accountable. And remember, by supporting my sponsors, you support me directly. And you get a great product. It's a win-win. So thanks again to Ground News. This was not random. Multiple camera angles already set up. Every news outlet reporting precisely six missing in tandem. They watermark their atrocities with the same occult numerology and symbolism every time, but most people too stupid to even notice. It's a major bridge that's key to global transit. It's gonna have a lot of cameras pointing at it. Not like the media arrived beforehand, is it? They're poor authority cameras. But inevitably in a society where trust in government and media has cratered. Literally every major event that happens now instantly becomes fodder for conspiracy speculation. It was ISIS. It was Israel. No, it was Ukraine.
Assalamu alaikum.
But what could have increased the likelihood of what appears to be very much an accident is actually way more concerning and points to the growing DEI-driven competency crisis that's actually heightening the risk of more tragedies taking place. This exact same ship, the Dali, collided with the stone pier in the port of Antwerp back in 2016. Investigation found that the incident was the fault of the master and the pilot on board. Synergy Marine Group, the company tasked with managing the ship, appears to have prioritised diversity over competency, stating on its website that issues related to diversity are a high priority at Synergy. We realise that the benefits of diversity are best achieved by fostering greater inclusion and belonging. The company indicated that its goal is a, quote, workplace that is truly characterised by inclusion and belonging. Yeah. Not by expertise, then. Just days before the bridge collapse, the company bragged of its commitment to diversity at sea. Wish they'd be more focused on safety at sea. Seems this ship had a lot of issues. Over and above the risk of it being hacked by fill-in-the-blank as part of a global conspiracy. Now check out the Maryland Port Commission's recent diversity hires. Corinthia A. Barber, an expert in workforce training, coaching and diversity, equity, inclusion and belonging, DEI IB audits and consulting, not port safety then. And Sandy A. Roberts, a corporate lawyer who generally knew some marine law. Fills you with confidence, doesn't it? We now learn that the entire 22-member crew of the cargo ship that collided with the bridge are Indians. Lest we forget that this is the same country that had to take its first ballistic missile submarine out of commission because someone forgot to properly close a hatch. Yeah, I'm leaning more towards incompetence. What do you think? Conspiracy? Cock-up? Or blameless accident? Comments down below.
I think these are really excellent points here. And it's one of the things that, just to kind of back up a little bit, my way of my conditioning and training is to always look through things through an optic of terrorism and threat. And it points out a fault. And it is interesting. It's why I'm bringing a lot of this discussion to bear this morning. The initial analysis, as it was Steve Bannon to his defense, to even to General Flynn, all of these voices coming out look towards things as a threat to the nation first. What Paul Watson brings up here, which is exceptional, and what he's saying here, is we look at the boogeyman before we look at the simple things that are before us. Keep it simple. I mean, Dad always used to remind me that when working on a vehicle, don't go to the big problems first. Start with little things like the battery connection, like, you know, your spark plug gap, those little things rather than the big things. And I think this is another one of these cases. We do have an absolute degraded trust in anything the media and the government says these days. And in so doing, we tend to jump immediately towards the dramatic. There's a lot of things that have happened that lead us to that. But let me frame this a different way. And I want to get back to this kind of QAnon theories, which, again, and even what I just said a minute ago, I said when they start to have you look one way, look another. But sometimes, even when they're telling you to look another way, what they don't want you to look is what's right before you. It's just good lessons. So I'm even kind of backtracking a little bit on what I said just a few minutes ago. And I don't have a problem doing it. These issues right now are complex. When we look at a complex problem, typically it's the simplest solution that is the truth, but it's the hardest one to accept. I don't know what the situation is here, but I would tend to agree the more that the evidence surfaces, we can't deny incompetence in the pilot. And especially when we start to look at and listen to Larry Fink and BlackRock and their global network of trying to push down DEI. Now, DEI is the racial trigger, but here's what's the greater part of that. DEI gets to the core of increased corporate profits by reducing the skill level and the competency of people so that they don't have to pay for that extra level of expertise. And to do that, they have to outsource people beyond the limits of the United States. It's still the same strategy. Break the United States down, create a level of incompetence at every level so that nothing functions. Now, this is an irony because as they try to collapse this nation, you could easily say that this is the punishment of the hand of God. And I do mean what I said. We have a nation have stepped back from taking the authorities that we've been given, and in so doing, what we're receiving now is what we have earned, which is incompetence. When we look deep within COVID-Con and we go back to where we begin today, accountability is at the core of COVID-Con. Each one of us having to take accountability to choose whether to do something or not, or whether to trust in incompetent institutions. We've trusted all of our faith and hope in God in doctors as if they are God. And we have allowed them to tell us that what's in the vaccine, and any vaccine, anything they stick in us is okay. We never question it. We just roll up our sleeve and we have them shoot something in us. What came out of COVID-Con was a realization that these institutions of medical health were actually tyranny of death. And for those that woke up, we stay away from them as much as possible. But it's not limited to medical tyranny. It's across our entire government. And the one thing that I was remarking on to myself this morning is how every single time I follow a rabbit hole, I arrive at one common theme: incompetence. We have more idiots than we have intelligence, and more idiots running this country than we have intelligence. The smart people aren't in government. The smart people are not in corporate boardrooms. The smart people are the ones out here working the land, trying to make a living on their own businesses. These are the people that are the smart ones. And what does the government always go after? The small producer. Why? Because that's where innovation sits. That's where independence sits. That's where your smart, your true intelligence, your absolute applied intelligence sits. Has nothing to do with degrees. Has everything to do with applied skills. So in that sense, I think that we have to collectively, and even speaking to myself, we have to work through these processes. I'm going to always see things through a lens of threat, just the nature of who I am. I've done this for so long, I'm going to look at threat first. But I'm not going to omit that level of, like a Paul Joseph Watson analysis, where it says it's human error. And I'm not going to be so stuck on myself and my perspective that I'm going to run down that rabbit hole all the time and say, it's not that. We have to be willing to have some humility. And that's our process of awakening. Ultimately, if we're going to be truly walking in that walk with God, we have to be honest in everything and be open to possibilities, even if they make us uncomfortable. And that's literally where we've arrived. So this is a really critical point here in as we seek to find, and remember, and so these are just some other things to trigger that I've gone through repeatedly, and I've noted that this idea of a black swan event, which I've called this a black swan event, which I believe it is, but maybe not for the same motives. Black swan event is an event that changes everything, but it's interesting to note that the black swan event was telegraphed by mainstream media, and we accepted it as truth as far back as last fall, when NBC News started to talk about it by one of their analysts. And moving forward, it became a trend. And suddenly when this happened, Black Swan event became the headlines in the mainstream media. That should be a red flag in itself. They want us to believe in the fear. Fear is their motivation. They want us to believe that all these systems are going to collapse, that cities are going to burn, that we're going to have death and destruction. This is constantly the theme. What's interesting about the Northeast Corridor, having lived up there, I can tell you that this is a major encumbrance to traffic. But I also know something else, and I was discussing this with some friends last night. The one thing I can tell you about what's in the corridor up there, some of the hardest working Americans in the country. These are dock workers, union workers. These are construction workers. These are hard, heavy equipment type operators, all condensed in the same area. They're truck drivers. They deal with the headache of traffic. They deal with the high density of living up there. And here's what I know. The minute that that happened, emergency procedures went in place. People began to work through solutions. Traffic was being rerouted. Long-term solutions or short-term and medium-term solutions were being developed because the understanding that that bridge was down didn't stop the movement of goods and services. It may delay them, but immediately actions went into place. And each 24 hours it goes forward, those actions are being shifted. You can take from the port of Baltimore down to the Carolinas, down to Jacksonville. All these ports have now been alerted. And immediately ships are being rerouted. They're being sent to different ports. New logistics chains are being shifted. They're going into the rail systems. They're trying to look at where they can move goods and services. They're talking to truckers. Everything is happening and it's shifting on a board. So we tend to see a system as very fragile. When the one thing about American systems is it's very resilient. The greatest gain out of all of this, and what I believe is why the DEI card has become so prevalent, and even why the conspiratorial discussions about this, whether it was hacked or unhacked, all of these things, why the media is pushing all this intense narrative, is they don't want one thing. They don't want us coming together to solve a problem. Because at the end of the day, regardless of what the absolute focus is and what the outcome is. Maybe this is a Russian terror attack. Maybe it's a bunch of cyber guys. Maybe it's a bunch of cyber people sitting in their basement here in this country. I don't know. But this is what I do know. When we come together to solve problems, we overcome mountains and we learn about each other. We don't see race, we see people. We don't see division, we see people. So even to the discredit of Joseph Paul Watson here, I would not be pushing a DEI strategy. I could talk about incompetence of hire. I agree with that. That's a training issue. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with diversity, equity, inclusion, other than that being a byproduct. This has to do with corporations hiring incompetent people. This is a given in this case, that there's an incompetent crew on this ship. Whether or not that ship was actually commandeered by a hack, time will tell. Or maybe it won't because they don't want you to know the truth. But the fact is that no matter how we look at this, we cannot make this of division and race. This is corporations doing what corporations do, always trying to milk out another dollar of profit at the expense of safety for the human beings. And even if you want to look at the cyber hack, you can ask yourself a question. How is it that a shipping system like this was allowed to have an open source navigation system with GPS tie-ins that was not encrypted? There's a simple question. And why? Because it costs too much. Ultimately, follow the money. And that's where they literally don't want us fixing problems. I want to play this short piece of perspective. I think it's really important.
There are only three types of people in your life. First, other leaf people. These are people who come into your life just for a season. They are there to take what they need. And as soon as it gets cold or a wind blows in your life, they are gone. Second are the branch people. Although they are stronger than leaves, you have to test them out before you run out there and put all your weight on them. They may stay with you for a few seasons, but they will break away when life becomes tough. And finally, the root people. These people are very important because they don't do things to be seen. Their only wish is to support you and help you live a strong and healthy life. And even if you go through a difficult time, they will hold you up. They love you just the way you are.
It is interesting to note that in the theory, the economic theories that were in the around the Russian Revolution, 1917, that the works that were being promoted by Trotsky and Lenin ultimately led to a singular conclusion about the West, that over time the West would self-destruct, not because they needed to promote a revolution, but because the aspect of greed would become so massive that they would pilfer their own systems at the expense of people, and ultimately the entire systems would implode. It's worth a look in these lens and pretty much everything we're dealing with. It's easy. We know that there are people involved in this that are all out for money. COVID-Con is a great example, and they are willing to sacrifice people at any cost. But at the end of the day, we can't escape the principle and fundamental issue that we have to have walking in the body of Christ and being who we are as Americans and Christians. We have to have accountability, not only to ourselves, but we have to hold our government to that accountability. That is the nature of this government. That's what it means to say we are in a republic, a representative republic, not a democracy. A democracy advocates all its power to others so that we don't have to be responsible. We go with majority rule. Whatever the majority does, we do. That is not a representative republic. A representative republic is that the government is subordinate to the wills of the people. That is in our founding documents. And for that reason, we are given a right to throw off such forms of government that when they become despotic and no longer represent the wills of the people. We are arriving at that understanding that our government is far off the rails. And our founding fathers even warned us that we would be very likely to carry on such forms of government. They were against our will because it was easier to stay with it than to change it. We're here now. And what we're witnessing is going to be difficult because we're witnessing a collapse of a system. It's Babylon, who has pilfered us and raped us and abused this country to such a degree. And the only thing they have to control us now, there's only one thing they have. And that is the narrative for us to be in fear in one way or another and to always point the finger at someone else rather than ourselves. It is always the boogeyman. Always. They are going to spin this in one way or another over time to try to justify that it's a Muslim terrorist group. It's going to be North Korea. It's going to be, just watch where they go with this. It'll be China. It'll be Russia. Immediately, these will be the things because they need war. Why do they need war? War is what sustains this economy. War is what keeps people separated and divided. War is a narcotic. And even to myself and to a judgment on myself by myself, I approach this through the skew of a lens of many years of studying this from the perspective of war. And I've had to force myself to break that paradigm and say, what else can it be? Because that's when you become hyper-effective, and that's when you become hyper-useful for the good side and hyper-dangerous to the evil, because you cease to look purely at what they tell you to think. And that ultimately is my accountability before the throne. And that's where I encourage us all to consider. There's a short piece here I want to read to you. I think it sums up a lot of who we are. This is a post by an anonymous writer. You are, whether you like it or not, the most complex creature in known existence. The weight of that concept cannot be driven home enough. You are marveled of thousands upon thousands of years of DNA splitting and pairing and collective knowledge grown like a great tree. What you are to your understanding has never existed before. The moment you are in the here and the now matter. Your perspective on that will determine your place in it. Who are you? What do you see yourself as and why? Those are fundamentally malleable concepts. They are less defined than you imagine. When you wake up each day, what are you determined to do? With limited time, you will be given endless choices. The hardest part will not be being overwhelmed by it. You don't owe it to anyone to save the world alone, but you do owe it to your existence. Marvel at the engineering that you are to be the best you can be. You are without doubt the single most complex and brilliant thing known in existence. Live like it. Posted by Anonymous. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, we come to you today just very humbled and just praying today for open minds and to start receiving and looking at the world from a broader lens and the eyes that only you can give. We're reminded by Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Father God, I'm just going to pray today that that gate, that clarity of the gate, of the narrow gate, is part of our walk, that we see it clearly, that we're willing to face ourselves in the judgment and criticism and repentance that is needed, equally as we look at the world with broad eyes as you would give. This world is a constant war of narrative to try to direct our sight from here to there, to obscure the truth and to constantly provide the gateways of traps and mazes before us that we will never find our way out. And so, Father, we pray for one primary thing today: keep our eyes on Jesus. Because no matter how the matrix changes, no matter how the maze pathways turn, our eyes on Christ will always lead us home. So, Father, we pray that the people will keep their eyes on Jesus, that we will keep our eyes focused straight ahead on Christ, that we will continue to pursue the truth at no matter how difficult or how uncomfortable it may be, but rather to pursue truth above all, to keep our hearts open, our minds open, and to always lean into you for the discernment and the walk that we need to overcome the challenges that we face and to see the world in a more amazing way. Bless us, guide us in this path, and we say these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Patriots, tonight I have Jeremy Slayton on. Jeremy is a former professional baseball player. He is a powerful evangelist for the Word of God, and he's on this evening. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war, so walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land, expand the kingdom, subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you this evening for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal, but that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
an old evil that has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.